Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Unsocial Butterfly podcast. For those of you that are new, I am your host every single week, and my name is Julia Christine. I'm so happy to have you listening. I'm also really intrigued how new people find the podcast. So if you are new and you have no idea who I am, like you just stumbled across this podcast somehow, some way, I'd love to know how you found it, because most people come from my other social media platforms. So if you have happened to stumble across this from some other way, let me know on Instagram. I would love to know. Anyway, I forgot to mention this in last week's episode, but for those of you guys who used to listen to the podcast for season one, if you want to call it that, I forgot to ask, did you guys notice that there's a new intro song? And if so, how are you liking it? I personally really like this one a lot better. I like that there's some fade, music fade in there, and I don't know. I thought it would be fun to switch it up, get something new for the new season, if you will. So I hope you guys like it. I personally really like it, but I just wanted to say that because I forgot to last week during the very first episode of this new season. So let me know on Instagram how you guys are liking it. So I am absolutely freaked out right now. If you guys didn't know, I live with my boyfriend Cole, and he's currently across the apartment on the other side of literally our entire apartment, and he's gaming, and I can hear like change, like clanking around, and then I said his name and no one responded. So I wouldn't think he'd be messing with me, but maybe it's my neighbor. I don't know. Maybe I have a ghost. Anyway, honestly, I wish I could see ghosts, because Ghost Adventures and Destination Fear are like my favorite shows ever, and I think that would be kind of a cool like sixth sense to have, but knowing me, I would be very afraid all the time and I probably wouldn't be able to live a normal life. Anyway, let's get into the episode. So I did mention last time that I don't really have any like segments at the beginning of the intro that I really could think of. So for this week, I kind of came up with a few things to talk about, and I want to just kind of like give it a try and try out new things and see where it takes us. So definitely give me some feedback on what you like to hear at the beginning. So if you have any ideas, definitely let me know. I would love to hear your guys' feedback, because I definitely want this to be like an interactive podcast. I don't know what's going on with my voice right now. It's like going away. Blech. Okay, anyway, I wanted to start incorporating like a favorite of the week. So we'll just dive right into it. My favorite this week has been the Peter Thomas Roth Firm X Peeling Gel. I probably won't give like a favorite makeup product or like skincare product every week, just because I am not a beauty guru. I suck at makeup. But anyway, I bought this new skincare gel and I actually just tried it out for the first time and my face is so soft. So highly recommend getting it if you don't have sensitive skin and you live in like a drier climate like I do. P.S. If you guys don't know where I live, I feel like some people don't know where I'm from. I'm from good old North Dakota. Some people say they can hear like a northern accent on me. I personally don't hear it, but of course none of us hear our accents, so I'm really sorry if you don't really like that Norwegian accent that a lot of us have. So yeah, I really like the Peter Thomas Roth peeling gel. It's kind of pricey, I won't lie, but I feel like it would be worth it to not have dry skin. So, and then the next thing I wanted to mention is the That's Loaded podcast. If I had a best friend that did social media and stuff that lived closer to me and wanted to start a podcast like that, oh my god, it would be the best. Kara, oh my god. Caitlin and Sarah, Kara is their like relationship name. Caitlin and Sarah are like the best of friends and literally like best friend goals. Their dynamic is just everything I aspire to have in a friendship. So if you guys haven't listened to That's Loaded yet, you definitely need to, because they are so funny. They don't have very many episodes up yet because I think they just started it right before Christmas, maybe in like the end of or beginning of December, end of November. So they named their podcast because of the show Pen 15, which if you write out the name Pen 15, I'm sure you know what that stands for. But I've been watching the show Pen 15 because of them, and it's actually pretty funny. So it kind of gives me some nostalgic vibes back in middle school, because the show is kind of like set back in middle school. So I definitely would love to do like a nostalgic throwback episode where I talk about some of like my favorites from the late 90s, early 2000s, and just like things that remind me of that era of time. So I definitely am thinking of doing that because of Pen 15 and Kara, Caitlin Sarah. So let me know if you'd like to hear that, because I was born in 1996, so I don't really know what my technical, like, generation would be. Am I a Gen Z? Am I a millennial? I don't know. So I call myself a Zillennial because I don't really know which one I am. But I definitely like that show. Definitely love that podcast. Definitely give it a listen if you guys haven't already. And another segment I kind of want to include periodically is like a small business shout out, or like an Etsy shop or another social media channel or something like that. So this week's small business shout out is the Etsy shop Why Not, and it's K-N-O-T-T-E. I got a little rainbow keychain from her Etsy shop for Christmas, actually, and I have it hanging in my car. And then I followed her on Etsy, and she has little like rainbow keychains and just different macrame products, I guess, but she does the whole avocado dyeing process with some of her yarn, and it is so cool. So I actually ordered one of her keychains recently. So I really like supporting small businesses. I'm sure you guys all know that, but yeah, I really enjoy her Etsy shop. Very cute, very trendy and aesthetic. So, all right, the next thing that I wanted to incorporate into episodes is kind of like a weekly goal. I don't want to call it a goal because it just feels so unfortunate if you don't reach that, or you don't like achieve that by the end of the week. So to ponder what that's going to be called. But anyway, I'm going to call it a goal for this week. That is definitely subject to change. But anyway, my goal this week is to start doing Lauren Jurado's workout, which I don't remember if I talked about this on last week's episode or if I talked about it in a YouTube video. I've been having like memory issues lately, so it's been rough. But I would like to start doing her workout, which is the 12-3-30, I think is what they call it. So this is a treadmill-based workout, and I'm pretty sure this has been like viral on TikTok, and I think pretty much a large majority of people do this workout, but I think a lot of people have seen success with it, and I hate cardio with a burning passion, so I'm gonna give this a try and we'll see how it goes. But basically you walk on a treadmill at an incline of 12, speed of 3, and 30 minute workout. So I'm sure you could do it for longer if you wanted to, but I've heard that this workout is super intense and hard, so I probably won't even make it to the 15 minute mark, let's be honest. But my goal for this week is to give that workout a try. I've seriously been so bad lately with my health, and I want to turn over a new leaf on that aspect and just start to work out a little bit more, because getting active is obviously good for a person, so I need to start doing that. So those are all of the little segments I could come up with for the intro. Let me know if you want anything different or if you want me to incorporate other things into the intros. So let's just move on to the main part of the episode. So I wanted to start out kind of doing like a new type of episode on my podcast where it's called You Asked, I Answered. So it's basically like a Q&A advice type of episode. It's basically anonymous submissions. Well, I can see who you are, but I'm going to keep them anonymous, but I asked for some submissions over on my Instagram. So if you guys aren't following me, it's Unsocial Butterfly Podcast over on Instagram. So I asked for some submissions for advice questions. So I haven't even looked at these. It's going to be a surprise for the both of us. We'll go through this together, but I wanted to do an advice episode. So I'm going to go over to Instagram and we'll get the questions pulled up and get going with the episode. So just FYI for future, nothing is off limits with these. Like, you can literally ask me whatever you want. Well, keep it like PG-13. I'm not quite that kind of podcast, but you guys can ask me seriously any type of question with some discretion, I guess. But yeah, just for future, if you ever see me ask for advice submissions, take it in whatever direction you would like. So let's start out with the very first submission. This one is best advice for growing a platform. So if you guys didn't know, I have my podcast, my YouTube channel, my Instagram, of course, and then I have like a few other like smaller Instagrams for my Etsy shop and then my podcast as well. So I think it just takes time. It's really easy to kind of see other influencers, whether it's on TikTok or YouTube, that are really big, and it kind of seems like they grew overnight in a way. And some people do, but that is so rare. And you just have to keep like putting out content and staying active with your followers. In my opinion, I truly love interacting with you guys. Like, that is my absolute favorite thing to do, is talk to you guys on all platforms. So to be able to interact with any comments or messages that I get, it always means the world to me. And I think some influencers kind of neglect their comment sections and they fail to respond to comments. And it doesn't even take that long. Like, you can just go onto the YouTube app and respond to comments in 5 minutes on your lunch break or something. That's what I do. Like, I work a full-time job and I still manage all of this. But yeah, my best advice for growing on, whether it's YouTube, a podcast, or a blog, Pinterest, whatever you are working towards, I think the main thing is to just stay driven and focused on posting content. The more you stay active, the more things will go in your favor. And I just think staying positive and working towards your goal of posting is the best way to go for it. And I know it's really easy to just say numbers don't matter, which obviously that's a person's main goal, is to grow on their social media platforms. Most people's main goal, I should say, not everyone. But I think it's just important to remember that numbers don't mean everything. And personally, I would rather have 100 followers that personally truly enjoy my channel rather than 1,000 followers that don't really care to watch my videos. So yeah, I don't really have a ton of advice for that because I don't have like a ton of followers as it is, but I think you should post what makes you happy and just do social media because it's fun for you, not like it's a chore, you know what I mean? Okay, moving on to the next one. What are your tips on self-confidence? So I used to struggle a lot with self-confidence and body image and everything, and I'm not going to dive too deep into that in this episode because I'm sure that could be like a whole different topic, but I definitely struggled, and I think it's really rare to not have those struggles. And if people say they don't have those struggles, they're probably not being honest, because that's just human nature to see ourselves in a way that other people don't necessarily see you, if you know what I mean. Like, your flaws that you don't love about yourself, most people won't notice those. So my tips on staying confident in yourself is to point out things that you love about yourself and to focus on those things, because obviously you can't change the way you were made. Obviously, I can only speak from a woman's point of view, but I think women really struggle with focusing on body image and the way that they look, especially when it comes to seeing a ton of people on Instagram. And of course, I'm sure you've heard the saying that Instagram is only a highlight reel. You just have to remind yourself that most people are only posting the best pictures of themselves. So just don't compare yourself to others. Find things that you love about yourself and find personality traits that you love about yourself. I feel like it definitely takes age and experience to figure all of this out. And of course, I still haven't figured it out. I'm slowly but surely learning to love the skin that I'm in and everything. But it does take time, and truly remember that literally everyone on this earth goes through some of that at some point of their life. So the next mission is best advice for living alone and being content. So if you guys didn't know, I used to live alone for about 2 years when I was in my x-ray program, and I absolutely loved living alone just for the fact that I am such a clean freak. But I know not everyone's like that, and a lot of people enjoy living with others. So if you're used to living with other people, I think it's important to remember to FaceTime your friends and have them over. Obviously, in the world that we're living in right now, that isn't really possible, but I think it's super important to set a routine for yourself and keep up with that routine. When you live alone, it's kind of easy to fall off of the habits that you have in place because no one else is there to hold you accountable, whether that's doing your laundry, making your bed, cleaning, any of that. Like, you are responsible for everything. So it's definitely interesting making the transition from living with either your family or friends to living by yourself. But I absolutely loved living alone, so hopefully you do too. Next topic is best tips for living with your boyfriend. So I'm very lucky to have Cole, who cleans up after himself for the most part. There are a select few things that get under my skin, but I think setting ground rules from the get-go is probably one of the easiest ways to avoid any future conflicts that could arise. For example, I told Cole that my number one rule for living here is that shoes have to come off at the front door. I am such a germaphobe. I cannot stand when people wear shoes in the house. I think it's so disgusting. Like, you don't know where your shoes have been. They've been in bathrooms. They've been on concrete. Lord only knows what they have touched ugh, it's so gross to me. I don't know where my kind of fear came from that, but yeah, I just hate it. So that was one of my ground rules that I set from the get-go. Please, please, please take your shoes off at the door. And he set ground rules too. So obviously you're both paying rent and you both need to have a say in what happens. Even if it wasn't your boyfriend and it was a regular roommate, like you would both have to kind of have a say in what happens around the apartment, house, whatever you're living in. And it's definitely different from living separate to living together. And sometimes too much time together isn't the greatest. And you definitely need to still have your alone time. So if you can, try to get at least like a one bedroom where you guys can have your own separate spaces. Thankfully, we have a two bedroom and he can be in his office while I'm like in the room or the living room or something like that and have our own space. Because as much as it is nice to spend time together a lot of the time and not have to like drive out of your way to see each other, it's still really important to have that own personal time and space. Especially for me, because I'm a very introverted person. Also, one thing that you could do is kind of take one of those like love language, I don't know if they're like a quiz or I don't really know what they are, but they basically like depict what each person's love language is. So whether it's like touch, gifting, communication, etc. I know Colin and Bianca always talk about it on their podcast. So I think something like that would be really beneficial because I, for one, am not a person who likes to be touched. I am like, get away from me. I don't want to be hugged. I don't want to be touched. Like, don't touch me. That's just how I am. I've always been that way. So he is the total opposite of that. So I think it's kind of finding that fine line and finding a boundary to set. There has to be some kind of middle ground. So possibly taking one of those quizzes could also be really beneficial. I have been thinking about it recently because I think that would probably be even beneficial for us too. Next topic, how do you manage all that you do as well as a full-time job? So if you guys are new, I'm going to say this in a million episodes, so I'm sorry for saying it again, but I have a YouTube channel, a full-time job as an x-ray tech, and then I sometimes have an Etsy shop. Right now I have it on vacation mode because there was a lot going on in the world, so I just wanted to put it on vacation mode for a little bit because that's not what's important right now. So how I manage it all is with a planner. I am a very type A organized person. I have to have everything written out. So I mentioned this in my past episode, but I have my own work planner as well as like a personal life planner. So I like to keep those two things separated. So once I'm off of work, I'm done with work. I'm not thinking about work anymore. So I like to write everything down and have set out times when I do certain things. So when it comes to YouTube, typically I do a lot of like vlog style videos, so it doesn't take a lot of extra time to sit down and film something. However, the editing of it does take a little bit of extra free time from me. So during the evenings, I'll typically edit and plan like thumbnails and stuff like that. And then I also take weekends to my advantage. So it's definitely just kind of figuring out a balance and remember that you can't do it all. I've definitely burnt myself out thinking that I could do it all, which is why I did take a little hiatus from the podcast. But I just try to kind of time block my days and manage my time as best as I can. Obviously, things come up and plans have to change, and flexibility is a really big thing when it comes to having a few different side hustles. Next topic is self-care tips, and she said, I love you. Love you too, girl. I think self-care is very, very different for each person. For myself, it's getting in the hot shower, washing my hair, doing a face mask, getting a glass of wine, and just relaxing and unplugging, getting off my phone and just maybe like watching a show, reading a book, playing on my Switch, whatever it is, just kind of getting away from the things that can feel so overpowering in my life, whether that's work or even social media at times. So I think it's just really noticing those things that make you feel good and those things that you are feeling like you need in your life. So whether that is extra sleep or seeing friends, talking to friends, kind of filling the void of those things that are missing in your life. And even doing a workout could be something that could be self-care, yoga, things of that nature. Definitely very subjective for each person, but that's my take on self-care. Next one, how do you handle moments when you feel unmotivated? So I actually go through this quite often. I think all of us do. And if people don't go through that, I need to know their secrets. But to tips when I feel unmotivated is to let myself feel those feelings. Typically, I'll lay down, relax a little bit, watch some TV, take a nap, and let myself just not do anything for when I'm feeling that way. But you have to also remind yourself, once you are done feeling those feelings, that life is still happening. You still got to go to work. You still have to do the things that need to be done in life, whether that's homework or chores or paying bills, things of that nature, all of the really fun things in life. But taking a little bit of a break from the things that can feel so daunting is what helps me. So taking a break from social media, taking a break from posting, taking a break from filming is typically what helps me. And then to also find people that make you feel motivated. So whether that's watching somebody who is a fitness vlogger or someone who shares daily motivational quotes, that necessarily isn't for everyone, but it definitely could be something that could maybe help you. It tends to help me. Again, this is so subjective for each person, but you could definitely even Google things to help you feel motivated or look on Pinterest. I know usually looking at different inspiration pictures typically helps me get out of a little rut. All right, the next topic is, how do you deal with social anxiety? I have really bad anxiety and social anxiety. So I actually do too. I'm actually on anxiety medication, and I personally deal with social anxiety by putting myself into those scary situations. From my own experience, I would never have gotten over the fear of doing certain things if I hadn't just forced myself to do them. I walked on eggshells much too long and let that kind of define me, if you will. And of course, we can't help when we feel anxious. We can't help that we go through the feelings that we do. But eventually, we have to try to overcome those things. So for me, when it comes to social anxiety, I personally do not like going to like party situations. For me, a house party in college was the worst thing you could possibly put me through. I hated it. Meeting new people was such a scary thought for me. And the more I kept myself away from trying to meet new people and trying to overcome those things, the more I just hid behind those feelings. And eventually I just forced myself to try and kind of come out of my shell, if you will. But yeah, unfortunately I did have to go to the doctor and I had to get put on some medication to help me through that, because it's something that was affecting my day-to-day life. So I think it's going to be dependent on each person. I'm not trying to give any medical advice or anything, but I would definitely seek medical advice if you can. Talk to your provider about it. Ask them what they think is best for you. Anxiety is definitely a tough thing to deal with. Coming from my own experience, I have dealt with this since I was a child. My anxiety used to be so bad as a kid that I would throw up pretty much once a week in the middle of the night. Like, I would wake up and throw up. So I used to work myself up into full-on panic attacks quite often. So I have started to overcome that a little bit. And with age, it's kind of gotten better. And I notice my certain triggers for anxiety. So I think it's just noticing those triggers and then seeking help when you need it. Next one is advice on switching careers. So they didn't really give any context of what kind of career they're wanting to switch to. But for me, I'll just kind of give an example. I thought that I wanted to go into nursing when I was in high school, not college. When I was in high school, I thought that I wanted to go into nursing, but I worked as kind of like a CNA that passes meds. So it's called a DSP, direct support professional. So I did a lot of different patient cares. So bathing, feeding, changing, giving meds, things of that nature. I did a lot of that being a DSP, and I very quickly learned that I did not like nursing. I loved the patient interaction, however, I didn't like those cares, and I couldn't see myself doing that for my lifetime. And with nursing, I'm sure there are so many different ways that you could take it, whether that's in the OR or a med-surg nurse. Just there's so many different ways that you can take it, of course, but I just didn't see myself going into that. So I think if you are looking to switch careers, go into a role that you will get some experience in what you're thinking of going into. So most places, pre-COVID, of course, you can shadow or do like job experiencing. So if you are interested in pursuing a certain career, you should definitely do that. I highly recommend doing that, because there would be nothing worse than pursuing an entire major and getting a college degree in something that you will never use. That thought scares me. So highly recommend doing job shadowing, especially in the medical field, especially. Next one, what inspired you the most to start back with your podcast? So I really like the freedom of kind of talking about whatever you want to talk about, having guests on, and just kind of engaging with you guys on a deeper level. I talk about this all the time, but with YouTube, of course, you can post however long you want to for a video, but most people aren't going to watch the whole thing. They're going to get bored and click off. So with most podcasts, I feel like a lot of people tend to listen to a majority of it. I'm sure some people get bored and click out, but I think it's just a different platform that is fun to talk to you guys on. And it's a smaller platform for me, so I feel like I can be a little more personal with you guys. The next advice question is best tips for studying for big exams. This question involves the HESI exam, and I actually didn't have to take the HESI or the HESI. I don't even really know what that stands for. I do know that it has to do with like the healthcare related majors, and I think it's like a placement. I don't know if it's a placement test. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but basically it's like nursing, radiography, things like that. So tips for studying for big exams is to start early. It looks like you take it in February, so I would definitely start to study as soon as you can. The biggest exam that I've had to take is the ARRT registry exam. So that is what gives me my credentials to work as a radiologic technologist. I actually have a full blog post on how I prepared for that exam. So I think that would definitely actually be helpful, even for people who aren't taking the registry exam for radiography, just for the timeline that I wrote out in there. So I will link that in the show notes for those of you who want to read that post. Next advice, mental health during the pandemic. So like I mentioned, I started on an anti-anxiety depression medication, and I think that was something that was so necessary, but otherwise my mental health has been okay during the pandemic, just for the fact that I still have been going to work and I've still been seeing people at work. Like, I have no choice but to see people and patients and my coworkers. Like, we have no choice but to see each other. But I think it definitely would be super hard to work from home. Like, Cole works from home and he never leaves. Like, I'm the only person he sees, and I'm sure he wants to kill me some days because I am very annoying. I will say it. But my mental health has been okay. And if you are struggling, please reach out to somebody who you trust. And I said this in the last episode as well, but if you don't have someone you trust, I will help guide you to find someone that can listen. And there are a lot of different mental health hotlines, so I can provide those in the show notes as well, because you are not alone in this and everyone has a different struggle right now, especially with the pandemic. So I'm here for you. Advice on organizational tips and different products. She said, my place is always so clean and tidy. I am a cleaning freak, and one of my biggest tips is to kind of set a schedule for yourself for cleaning. On workday evenings, I always clean up my living room space and my kitchen, so I make sure I go to bed with an organized space. I've always just been that way. I know a lot of people are not that way, so I'm sure they're like, what is this girl doing? She's crazy. But I always clean up my dishes, clean off the counter, make the pillows look nice on the couch. It helps me go to bed at night. I am Monica Geller to a T. If you guys watch Friends, I am Monica. Like, I can't go to bed if something is out of place. So I usually will wash my sheets on Saturday or Sunday, and then I vacuum and clean bathrooms on Sundays. So I always vacuum my floors. And then on weekday nights as well, I'll run like a little Swiffer over my laminate floors just to kind of clean up any crumbs or my lovely blonde hair that loves to collect all over the floors. So I like to keep my place organized just for the fact that it helps me feel more organized. And I don't know how people live in a messy house. I really don't get it. It just drives me crazy. Clutter drives me bonkers. And that's just how I am. Not everyone's like that. But for organizational products, I think those OXO like storage containers that go in the pantry are so nice. Definitely recommend purchasing them at like Sam's Club or Costco, because they're going to be in bulk and they're going to be priced a little bit better than if you buy them at like Target or something. So I really like those for organization. And then when it comes to closet organization, I haven't really gotten a good system down for that. And then I like to store my things in baskets when it comes to bathroom supplies. Home Goods is my bish. I love Home Goods. I go there every single week. I didn't go there this week. That's really sad. Anyway, love Home Goods. Advice on how to study for nursing programs and x-ray programs. Well, obviously I'm not in nursing, so I don't really know what that all entails, but when it comes to studying for x-ray, I really enjoyed using Quizlet. I think memorization is such a big thing when it comes to like medical terminology and things like that. So Quizlet always helped me. I really liked the desktop website for Quizlet, and then I also liked PurposeGames.com when it came to diagrams and images. So I didn't make my own PurposeGames.com images, I just used ones that other people used, and I verified that they were accurate by checking in my textbooks and stuff. But yeah, I think everyone studies in such a different way. Some people who have photographic memories, I am very envious of you. Okay, I really like this question. How did you prepare for interviews and prepare a cover letter and resume? So in my x-ray program, in my registry prep class, one of our assignments was to actually create an entire portfolio. So that entailed like putting together different characteristics that we like about ourselves, ones that we want to improve, educational opportunities, things like that, basically to get us prepared for applying for jobs. So thankfully, I was able to have one of my instructors help us with that, and I had my entire resume and cover letter proofread by her as well as my other instructor for my program, and having that class was so helpful. I had never written a cover letter before, so having to research that was really, really nice. So I would definitely recommend using Google. My friend Hallie took a resume course in college, and she was a huge help when it came to writing my resume. She looked through my resume to make sure everything looked okay and sounded okay when it came to the past tense and present tense. So just remember to include what is relevant to that job. Obviously, if you are applying to like a medical position, they probably don't want to know a ton about your experience working at like an ice cream shop or something, but they want to know about your experience working as a CNA or something along those lines. You know what I'm saying. So when you Google things for your resume, personally, I typed in radiologic technologist resume, and then I kind of got an idea of what people usually put on there. And then as for interviews, also use Google. Google is your best friend. A lot of people always message me on Instagram asking about the Rad Tech program interviews, and unfortunately my program did not have the interview process, but you still can Google that. If you Google radiologic technology program interview questions, there's an entire website dedicated to different questions that could come up. So I personally practiced these questions, and a lot of the ones that are on Google were actually asked during the interview. Definitely practice those questions. Don't come up with like a script for the questions necessarily. Like, you still want to sound natural and authentic when you answer the questions, but I definitely recommend preparing by searching interview questions. I can't even imagine going into an interview blindly. That would be the worst. Again, the organization in me is showing. Moving on, how do you handle parents' expectations on relationships, careers, etc.? So from my own experience, my parents are extremely wise and they know what's best for me before I even know what's best for me. I think when we're in high school and early college, we want to be so independent and we want to be kind of free from the nest and figure things out on our own and not listen to what our parents have to say. But from my own experience, my parents have been right about seriously 99.9% of the things that I have needed help with. I've learned the hard way and the long way how to go about certain things, and usually the resolution was what my parents told me to do 2 years prior to that. So that, of course, is just going to depend on your relationship with your parents. My parents and I have a very good relationship, and I'm forever appreciative of them. So this one's really hard because my parents were never really hard on me, and they kind of just let me figure things out on my own. But I think if you have parents that have high expectations of you, I think just try your best, but still put yourself first and put your beliefs and ideas first, because at the end of the day, you are an adult and you can do what you think is best for you. Okay, I'm gonna answer a couple more. Are you a believer of vision boards and manifestation? So to an extent, I think kind of like manifesting your goals can seem kind of woo-woo and taboo, but honestly, what does it hurt? You know what I mean? Everyone kind of has their own opinion on this, but I personally think it works. I wrote down some visions, and I talked about this in my last episode, and I phrased them in a way where the goal or the vision was future tense, but it was something that I had a deadline for, like a goal age, for example. So one of my visions that I wrote down is I want to drive this new car by age 25. And I actually accomplished that goal early by age 24. So I can't really say if it was or was not because I manifested that, you know what I mean? If something comes true, it comes true. And if you want to believe that you manifested it, go for it. But yes, I believe in manifestation to an extent. Of course, there's free will in life and people will get in the way of certain things. But I think if you have good intentions with it, I personally believe in it. And when it comes to vision boards, I don't really ever do vision boards. I did kind of like a MacBook screensaver background. I had inspiration from Bianca Franco to do this, but I just chose things that I wanted my 2021 to look like. So whether it was health or traveling or getting a puppy and things like that, I just wanted to put positive things on my screensaver because I do see it so often. So to an extent, I feel like vision boards, manifestation, setting goals, setting visions could definitely help. Like I said, what does it hurt, you know? Okay, I think that's going to be all of the advice questions that I'm going to answer. Let me know how you guys liked this type of episode. I definitely like recording things that are listener driven. So whether that's your guys' questions or your feedback, or even making episodes about topics that you guys want to hear. And I always want to make content that you guys want to listen to. So if you want to go follow me over on the Unsocial Butterfly podcast Instagram, oh my gosh, lots of words. Also, I was brainstorming different topics and episode ideas to possibly do in the future, and one of the ideas that kind of came to mind was having listeners submit advice questions and then having the listeners answer them. So hopefully that makes sense, but basically I would ask for you guys to submit different questions, and then from there, of course, they would stay anonymous, but from there I would put them onto my story and have you guys submit your advice for those people. So that was just a thought, I guess. I don't know if anyone would be interested in that, but I personally really like to have these podcasts be engaging. So let me know. Definitely message me over on Instagram if you have an idea or a suggestion, recommendation, things of that nature. So I'm going to close out the episode for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed. I think this one might be one of the longest episodes that I've ever recorded. I've been sitting on a very hard, uncomfortable carpet floor for a very long time. So I'm going to sign off here. I hope you have a great rest of your day whenever you are listening to this. I'm always curious to know what you guys are doing when you listen to the podcast. Personally, I usually listen to mine when I'm getting ready in the morning and then when I'm driving to work. So I'm really curious, when and where are you guys listening to this podcast? So thank you guys for listening. I will talk to you guys next week in another episode.